Good afternoon to each one, and it's good to be with you again here on a Lord's Day. I am sure for each one of us as believers that there's going to be times in our life, times when we've been reading the scriptures, reading our Bibles, and we just stop. Because something of what we have read either impresses us or stops us, and we just begin to think about it a little bit further and a little bit deeper. Maybe it's something that we've considered before, maybe something we really haven't considered before at all. But yet there is this stopping and the consideration of the Word of God. So I'm going to read this morning, this afternoon, in Proverbs chapter 24. A few months ago, this is a verse that stopped me as I was reading, and I'd like to develop it a little bit further with you today. Proverbs chapter 24 and reading verse 10. Proverbs 24 verse 10 says, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. I trust God will bless his word today to each one. This was a verse as I was just reading through Proverbs, reading through chapter 24, and I stopped here at verse 10. I'd like to just unpack the verse a little bit this afternoon and get to the details for each one of us. What we have here in verse 10 is a statement and a conclusion. When something has occurred, the result can now be made known. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. And so the life of the individual here is being examined. And I trust really the verse is going to promote for us a little bit of self-examination today. And so as I was considering the verse a little bit deeper, really are four words that we need to unpack and look at today and are important to learn. And it's those words: faint, adversity, strength, and small. And once we get a handle on what those individual words are, I trust we can put it back together again and develop some truths for ourselves today. And so when you look at the word faint, you go back, for example, to the book of Genesis. And you'll find there that Pharaoh is going to speak to the nation of Israel as they're still in bondage in Egypt. And he accuses the Israelites of being idle. That's the word of fainting. What were they doing? They were not working. He thought they were not working. And he's accusing them of being idle. He comes to the book of Deuteronomy. And Moses speaks of God who would not forsake or fail his people. It's that same concept of fainting. You come to Joshua, and now, of course, we're into the land. And he's going to encourage the tribes of Israel not to be slack in relation to possessing the land. Go and possess the land. And so we're learning something of this word that means to be feeble or to fail, to weaken, or to be alone. In each of those three examples from Genesis, Deuteronomy, and Joshua, they all come from days of crisis. In Genesis, it's the taskmasters. They're requiring more bricks. Maybe they haven't been given straw and so on, so they are being told to bring more bricks. In Deuteronomy, the people are concerned that they would not enter the land of promise. Moses prays that God would not forsake them or fail them. Joshua is concerned that the people would become content, just content with the land they'd possessed, not the full land having been possessed and conquered by them. And so they would not be able to take all the inheritance, just a part of it. And he says, do not be slack. If thou faint in the day of adversity. We come to that word adversity, and we find that Jacob uses it as he describes his run from his parents' home there in Genesis. He's running from Esau. He has deceived his father, And he says it was a day of distress, a day of adversity. Again, in Deuteronomy, Moses is about to die. And he warns the people that God would bring to them a day of trouble if they turned away from God, a day of adversity. You find it as well being used by Hannah in 1 Samuel. Remember the story, the unfortunate situation there in the household of Hannah. The husband had a second wife, and she is spoken of as an adversary to her. It's the same as what we have here in Proverbs 24 and verse 10. Speaking of trouble, speaking of distress, speaking of adversity and anguish. It's the idea really of tightness, of being squeezed, a day of adversity. But then we come a little further and we think of what it means to the second part of the verse. Thy strength is small. And we come back to Genesis, and God uses that word to describe the situation for Cain. Cain goes out unrepentant from the presence of God. And God says to him, because of your sin, the ground would not yield its strength. The ground would not yield what it was purposed for. We come to Exodus and we find that God says, why did I raise up Pharaoh? I raised up Pharaoh that I might show my power over him. And so we're learning about power, about might, about force and ability in that word strength. But also it's the thought of the capacity to remain firm, the capacity to remain firm. And so far, as in my studying, I hadn't really come across anything too surprising in relation to these four words, but we come to the last word, small, there, and I'm not totally sure what I was expecting, but I realized that the word adversity and small are actually very closely linked together. And I was surprised by that. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. It speaks there something that is narrow, a tight place, something that has been reduced, something that has been brought down to little value in the context of some of the passages that we have referenced already. The enemies of the people of God had come against a nation, and they were seeking to make it small. They were seeking to squeeze them, as they were, to bring them into a narrow place, to bring them to something that was of less or little value before them. And so let's bring the ingredients together, as it were. And so it's not just the flour and the oil and the sugar that we are presenting today, but the full cake, so that you're able to take it in and see its picture. Here is the book of Proverbs. And Solomon, as he writes it, is speaking here, and he says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Adversity, what does it do? It tests the reality and the character of an individual. To quote someone else, they said this, exceptional strain are the fair tests, not unfair tests, of a man's strength of character. So often we are so prone to say, but that's not fair. That situation is become too difficult. It's a day of adversity. But you go to the example of John's Gospel, chapter 10. You have the hireling and the shepherd. They both have responsibility for the flock. Which of those two individuals complains about difficult conditions? It's the hireling. The wolf comes, and the situation, the difficulty comes, and the hireling flees. A day of adversity has come upon them, and his strength has been squeezed out, he's been narrowed, and they flee. But the shepherd, he also faces the same day of adversity. There's no complaint from the shepherd. And so these exceptional strains are fair tests of my character and of your character as well. We know that trials test us as individuals. The trials are there that we might be purified. James and Peter, of course, speak of the trial of your faith. that deep trial that is going to come upon them. Because every trial is going to test what I really believe about God. What I believe about God, what I believe about myself, and what I believe about the reliability of the Scripture. Every trial is going to test what I really believe. And in these tests, then, we're going to have the conclusion of Proverbs 24 and verse 10. A statement and a conclusion. If I have fainted, my strength is small. And yet, God has chosen that there would be trials, there would be tests, there would be these difficulties, these days of adversity that would come upon us and come to us as believers. And so therefore, in our Christian life, we need to make sure that we have the mind of God on the matter. We need to ensure that we are in God's will. And having those two things settled in our mind, then we're able to move forward. We're able to go ahead in spite of the opposition that will come to us. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Just for the next half hour, I want to bring before you, or bring to you, two examples that I trust are going to illustrate both from a negative example and a positive way in relation to what we have here in Proverbs 24. We're going to learn about a man and about his great-grandson. And so let's turn back for a moment, and we're going to look at Genesis chapter 12. How does this verse work out? How does this principle work out in the life of Abraham? And so, as we turn to Genesis chapter 12, we're just going to break into the story. Genesis chapter 12, and we'll read at verse 9. Genesis 12, verse 9, and Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there. For the famine was grievous in the land. It came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai his wife, Behold, now I know thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, This is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. Genesis 12, we know that Abram is on a journey. He's left. We know that earlier in the chapter. And he is journeying to the promised land. Yet there seems to be nothing really extraordinary about the days of the life here of Abraham. If you go back a little bit in the chapter, verse 7, he builds an altar. Verse 8, he also builds an altar. And so I would judge that here in the life of Abraham, in this middle part of Genesis chapter 12, it's just daily life for Abraham. Daily life as God has directed him. Daily life in the place of God's blessing. He's active doing what God has revealed to him to do. God has called him. He has left. He is sojourning in the land of promise and of blessing. And it's just one day after another. Not that Abraham is having difficulty with it at all, but it's just the daily routine of life. And then something happens. Adversity is going to set in. There's affliction. There's distress. And what is it? There you have it in verse 10. There's a famine that comes to the land. Not just any famine, but we find here in verse 10, it's a famine that is grievous. What's happening now in the life of Abraham? Figuratively, Abraham is being squeezed. It's a day of adversity, a day of tightness, a day of trouble that is before him. And now, under the pressure of this day of adversity, of the famine before him, he makes this momentous decision in the middle of the famine to go down to Egypt. He leaves the place of God's blessing, leaves there what God had given to him, and he takes his journey down to the land of Egypt, there in verse 10, to sojourn there. What's happening? Abraham's beginning to faint. He's beginning to weaken. He's beginning to become feeble in relation to his confidence in God. Remember the thought there, thy strength, it's become small. The strength there dealing with that capacity to remain firm. Very simply, we all know that fainting is a downward experience. So going back a number of years, I remember when Peter Thiessen was born. I think it was March, if I remember correctly. And we were living in Winnipeg, and Norman and Sherry had their son here in Winnipeg at Victoria Hospital. And we went up the next day or so to see the baby, of course. Now, I don't like hospitals, and it's winter time, and you're wearing a heavy coat, and hospitals are always way too warm, and the elevator at Victoria Hospital is way too fast. And so by the time we got up to the fourth, fifth floor, whatever, I guess I was feeling a little bit fainty. And so went into the room, and all of a sudden, you know, I could start to feel things going a bit black. And my head started to spin. What was I doing? I was beginning to faint. You know, and I was tried to feel the wall, and down I went there at the hospital. It's a downward experience, right? I was trying to remain upright. I was trying to stay up. I didn't want to fall on the floor, however the situation was going to be. But fainting is a downward experience. It's a difficult experience. And the life of Abraham here in Genesis chapter 12, the famine was squeezing him. But it wasn't just a famine. When you come to verse 12, there's going to be fear. And fear is about to squeeze him. If you go to chapter 20 of Genesis, you'll find there's a plan that's been hatched between Abraham and his wife. Because wherever we go, you know, everybody's going to look at you and they're going to want you. And so just you know, tell them you're my sister. We're going to ignore the full truth that you are my wife. And we're just going to tell what is partly true, that you are my sister. We know, of course, that she was a half-sister to Abram. Yet it was a lie. It wasn't telling the full truth in that situation. It was a deliberate misleading of those who were around, and they looked upon them there as they sojourned in the land and as they went down to Egypt. And so there was a famine that began to squeeze them. There was a fear in the situation of Egypt that a little bit further was coming upon them. And what does Abraham find out? Well, the result of the examples here in Genesis chapter 12 is really an impact to the strength of this man, Abraham. All the might and ability that he had experienced through God seems to be gone. All of that capacity to be firm in the promises of God swept away. Where was that faith that stepped out from Ur of the Chaldees, going to a place they knew not of? I know, of course, that Abraham is mentioned in Hebrews. I'm not trying to bring down Abraham in your estimation, just to draw the connection to this verse here in Proverbs 24. An example of a man that we revere very highly, of course, for his faith and for his testimony. And yet here was a time, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. He had fainted in a day of adversity. What was it? The real measure of Abraham was found out at that day. The real strength of his character was seen, or lack of strength. What he truly believed about God, what he truly believed about himself, what he truly believed about the revelation of God to him, all seemed to have been cast aside in this moment, in this day of adversity. And Abraham now sees himself as he truly is. What has happened? He has allowed distress. He has allowed fear to squeeze him. He was being opposed. He put his wife in a very, very difficult and terrible situation. He made her to be complicit in the lie. Think about Sarah there in Pharaoh's household, wondering when the day was going to come that she was going to be taken to be the wife of Pharaoh. And that was all the place that he had caused to happen. And Abraham found out that in this day of adversity, he was brought low by the enemy. That's the idea of small. There's an enemy that has come against. They're going to squeeze and to bring into a place of tightness and smallness. And Abraham was being reduced and had been reduced here. His strength, the capacity to remain firm, was gone. Yet really, we know the end of the story, don't we? The mercy of God is wonderful. And the mercy of God extends toward Abraham and to Sarah. God moves, of course, in divine ways, as only he can do in situations when our strength has failed. Our strength has become small. And Sarah is unharmed. And Abraham then is going to make his way back to the land of promise, back to the land of blessing. But there has been that time. His faith has been tested. A day of adversity. For ourselves, as we draw the application then quickly to ourselves, I know there is many situations in which we are going to feel in which we are being squeezed, whether it's in our family, whether at the workplace, whether in our friendships. Those all can be places of adversity, places when we're being squeezed. And yet, really, there are times also in relation to the local assembly where we can feel days of adversity. We can feel days of trouble. And I always want to consider, in relation to the local testimony here or anywhere, that God's name, the name of the Lord, is gathered to, and the Christ is gathered to. What will the assembly testimony look like tomorrow? The next month, the next year, 10 years in the future, if the Lord does not return. This world can be a very narrow place, a very difficult place of adversity, of being squeezed and of being pressured. And in relation to the testimony of the local assembly, am I going to faint? Am I going to allow myself to be squeezed, as it were, in days of adversity? To allow the enemy to reduce me, as it was here in the days of Abraham. To reduce the local assembly to less value. Not in the eyes of God, of course, but less value in relation to its testimony toward others here in this world. Or am I going to ensure that I have God's mind? Am I going to ensure that I know God's will for me? And then I am able to step forward throughout and through those days of opposition and be faithful in spite of the opposition. Really, it's a call to action. Am I fully possessing God's will in mind in the matter that is before us and before me? Because we know, do we not, believers, that adversity is here to stay. We're not going to be removed from adversity until the day the Lord returns. And so often is it not in our lives that we have a test. And maybe we're thankful that our faith, our strength is not small. And then we expect, as it were, to have clear sailing for an hour, a day, a year, 10 years. But adversity is here to stay. My faith is being tested. Abraham here in Genesis chapter 12, he allowed famine. He allowed fear to get the better of him. He moved away. He moved out of God's blessing, out of the activities of God's choosing. No altars to be built in Egypt. You know that well, don't you? But again, back to us this afternoon. Let us remember that fainting is the easy way out. Back there when I was going to see Peter when he was born at the hospital, fainting was the easy way out. I struggled to try and stay upright, right, to not faint. That was what the struggle was. Once I gave in and passed out, I think I passed out fully, but once I fell down or slid down to the floor, that was the easy part. And for us as believers, fainting in a day of adversity is actually the easy way. We lose care. We lose our consciousness, as it were, of things around us. And we just slide downward. Abraham, in the day of adversity, he went down into Egypt. And so let us pray then, as we think of the example of Abraham, for the mercy of God upon us, for a day of revival, for a day when we're going to be sent back out. Pray that as we consider these days of examination, to examine our lives and how we are dealing with a day of adversity, pray that we will think of one another, stir up one another, and recognize the truth of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the only way in which our strength will not become small. And so when we think of Abraham, it was a time here, this portion of his life, a time of fainting. If thou faint in the day of adversity, Abraham found out that his strength had been squeezed as well. His strength was small. Famine and then fear in the life of Abraham. Abraham found out his strength was small. Let's turn over a little bit further in Genesis and think about a great grandson. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Let's turn our attention now for a few moments to the life of Joseph. Genesis, please, and chapter 39. We'll just read a few select verses in chapter 39 and 40. Genesis 39, verse 20. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Down to verse 4 of chapter 40. The captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, the butler and the baker. And he served them, and they continued a season in ward. Verse 6. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? The final verse of the chapter, verse 23, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. The life of Joseph has been eventful up to this point, to say the least. Let's just think of his life very quickly. He has seen his mother, no doubt, die in childbirth. His brother has been born. Later on, that special coat that indicated his father's love for him has been given to him. He has been spoken to by God directly in those dreams. Remember those sheaves bowing down, the sun, the moon, the stars, and so on, as well, bowing down to him. He's gone out in service for his father, and from that he's been sold and by his own brothers into slavery. He's become that steward in that powerful house there in Egypt. In this chapter, he's been slandered by a woman that he has reproved by his own actions, by fleeing from her. I think we'd have to say, in the life of Joseph, there's been a lot of adversity, a lot of days of of difficulty. A lot of days in which he has been squeezed, as it were. He's brought into a narrow, narrow place. The distress and the anguish are very, very real in the life of Joseph. And now where we have read, he's become a servant. A prisoner, yes. But not just a prisoner. He's a servant in the king's prison to the other prisoners. If you remember how Joseph got there, he had lost his clothes, but he had kept his integrity in relation to the house of Potiphar. He had refused the easy path of following the lusts of temptation there in relation to Potiphar's wife, but he had gained the mercy of the Lord. And so that verse there from Proverbs 24, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. The life of Abraham, that picture there in Genesis 12, a time when Abraham, the test brought before him the fact of the true character of who he was. But there's something remarkably different when you come here to Joseph, here in Genesis 39. So different when you compare it with Genesis chapter 12 and that section that we read in Genesis 12. You probably didn't notice it just in the brief reading in that chapter in Genesis 12, but the only mention of the Lord in that section is by Pharaoh. There's no mention of the Lord, a recognition of the Lord, no guidance from the Lord, no prayer to the Lord, no altar built to the Lord by Abraham or by Sarah. In Genesis 12, in that section we read, it's only Pharaoh that refers to the Lord, because the Lord has plagued Pharaoh because of the situation. And in his divine mercy, he's going to bring Abraham and Sarah out. How different when you come to this passage here in Genesis 39, especially when you come there to verse 21. The Lord was with him. And here we're going to see really just the simplicity of the difference between that example of the life of Abraham and here in relation to Joseph. The Lord was with him. The Lord showed him mercy, verse 21. The Lord gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And so if Abraham then is an example for us of strength becoming small in a day of adversity. We have here in the life of Joseph something that is absolutely the opposite. Herein, Joseph is going to be the positive example for you and I to follow. Not that we really want to compare the two. And my intention is not to compare the test, the trial, the days of adversity between Abraham and his great-grandson. There's no actually real purpose in doing so, because each trial is going to be individual to us as individuals. Each one of us, different strengths, different weaknesses. Each one of us, different places in which God is seeking to purify in our lives. And so it's not important necessarily to think about where one failed or where one didn't fail. It's the fact that a test did come. Days of adversity came upon them. Difficult days was brought to them, days of trouble. And how was there going to be a response? The tests come and hit at different points of weaknesses. But how then could we tell? How could we tell this afternoon that Joseph did not faint in a day of adversity? There's going to be two things. It's going to be his actions, number one, and it's going to be his words, number two. What were his actions? Come to verse 22 of chapter 39. What does Joseph become? Joseph becomes the jailer's right-hand man. Joseph is the man in prison. You know, it's always been that way in the life of Joseph. Later on in this story, you'll know in the future when the famine does come, what does Pharaoh say? When the people come and they're crying for food, go to Joseph. It's always go to Joseph. And here we have a little foretaste, as it were, even in the prison. The prison guard, the jailer, he doesn't care what's happening in the prison. Nothing is to bother him, because everything is in the hand of Joseph. Verse 23, the keeper of the prison looked not to anything under his hand. Because Joseph was a good administrator? No. Verse 23 says, because the Lord was with him. What was the difference in the life here of Joseph? He was going to allow God to strengthen him. Those days of adversity, they were difficult days. Joseph speaks of them at different times. They weren't easy tests. The days of these troubles were days that likely most of us would fail at. We would be the ones to faint if we think of the life of Joseph and where he'd come to at this point. And yet Joseph is the man in prison. Everything went through him. Verse 22, whatsoever they did, he was the doer of it. The preeminence really of Joseph, even as a servant in the prison. And so that's where we see his actions. Come a little further to chapter 40. The butler and the baker have been put into prison. And now you come to verse 4 of chapter 40. What do we learn of Joseph? He served them. Maybe we ask ourselves the question, where were all those dreams from years before? God had spoken. But there in that dark place of the prison there in Egypt, he's serving other prisoners. Had the word of the Lord meant nothing? Those years as a teenager before when God had spoken to him in those dreams? Was Joseph beginning to fail? Was he beginning to weaken? Was he beginning to faint? Will the adversity crush him as he is here in the prison? That's how we read in verse 6 and 7. Not just his actions, he served them, but his words. He looked upon them in the morning, and they were sad. And what was his concern? He asked them about their sadness. Do you find that incredible? A man who is in a place of adversity, and his thoughts are not about himself. His thoughts are not about the difficulty of his life up until that point. He sees two men with him in the prison, and he's going to ask about their sadness. What do we learn then about Joseph's strength? There from Proverbs 24, thy strength is small, your strength is narrow, it's been squeezed. This does not describe Joseph at all. His strength here is something that is overflowing. It's wide, it's all-encompassing. His strength is not closed off to himself here in the prison at all. And this is, I think, the secret then to the life of Joseph. Why he did not faint in a day of adversity. Number one, he was conscious of the Lord with him. But then number two, he turned his attention outward toward others. That's the key, I believe, here to present to you from Genesis 39 and 40. Away from himself and away to the needs of others. Just for a moment, go back and contrast this with the life of Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. The famine created personal hunger for Abraham. He wanted food. The famine was grievous. And for his own need, he went down to Egypt. You could say, well, in the situation with Sarah, he was fearful for Sarah, was he? No, he wasn't. He was fearful for himself. He says, they might take you, but by taking you, they're going to kill me, right? He's not concerned, sadly it seems, about the fact that his wife is going to be taken. He's more concerned about, I'm going to die. And so in Abraham's life in that situation, that day of adversity, he's turning his attention to himself. He's making choices that are about himself. And really, so often do we not, brethren and sisters, that even in times of service, it's possible we're doing it for our own benefit, for our own reward, for our own desires, for our own gain, for our own pleasure, for our own peace of mind. And it's not really truly for the benefit of others. Think about Joseph here in these two chapters of Genesis. He submitted to the prison keeper. He served the king's butler and baker. and he was sympathetic to their needs. And out of all of those characteristics of his life, we find then that Proverbs 24 wouldn't be written about Joseph at this point. His strength was just the opposite of tight or of being narrow. It was overflowing. It was an abounding strength. And surely you must say then, as we view the life of Joseph, surely now God's going to reward him. I mean, of all the days of adversity in his life, of all the tests that he has passed, of all the time in which he has been purified by these tests, surely now God will raise him up. God will give him an easier road than these days of adversity, a life of adversity, really. That's why I read the end of the chapter. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. What does chapter 41 and verse 1 say? And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. 2 more full years, Joseph was there in the prison. Forgotten for two more full years. It wasn't going to be that God would raise him up immediately. The days of adversity were going to continue for him at that time. But his strength would not be small. As I close, just turn over for a moment to Psalm chapter 105. And there the historian is going to give us just the last, as it were, details in relation to Joseph. Listen to this picture from Proverbs 24. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Look at Psalm 105 and verse 16. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He brake the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. The psalmist then writes the history for us. The word of the Lord tried him. Maybe you say perhaps those years of adversity in Egypt wouldn't have been so difficult if he hadn't had the dreams. If the word of the Lord hadn't come to him, maybe it wouldn't have been so difficult. Maybe you say, but on the other hand, those dreams gave him hope that he was going to then be released at some point. At some point, God was going to raise him up. That would be true, but how many years was it between the dreams and the time of his brothers bowing down before him? It was many years. It was years and years that went by, and as each passing year rolled through, was he going to weaken? Was he going to faint? Was he going to fail? No, the word of the Lord tried him. Times of the unfulfilled word of God, not in the life of Joseph. It was only, verse 19 of Psalm 105, it was only until the time came. And until the time came, what was the life of Joseph going to be occupied with? He was occupied with the consciousness of the Lord being with him. And in those times, he put his attention toward others. Conscious of the Lord's presence and conscious of the need to give his attention to others. This then is how I'm going to be triumphant, I believe. This is how you can be triumphant as well as believers today. This is how I believe that Proverbs 24 and verse 19 won't be written over parts of my life or parts of your life. Take up the words of Isaiah. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. I trust today that this little verse from Proverbs 24 will cause us to maybe examine our lives a bit deeper this afternoon. We see the examples of Abraham and Joseph, a turning away, as it were, from the revealed word of God. An attention that was selfward in Abraham, and he found out his strength was small. And yet Joseph there was a man who realized that God was with him. The adversity could be overcome, and in that, he brought his attention to the serving of others. May God bless his word.